yesterday at the masjid, I spoke on the hadith of al-mu'minu mir'atu al-mu'min, and we gave 10 meanings to it, as explained by the ulama-i kiram, Buzrugan al-Din. Dr. Saab has got two more meanings to it. I'll ask him to give you those two more meanings first.
There's a religion. Suddenly a thought came to my mind. And then Dr. Saab said, speaking about the mirror, Hadith Sharif on the mirror, Dr. Kola, you know, Dr. Kola. Dr. Saab was speaking about the Hadith Sharif that a Mormon is a mirror of another Mormon. And how the ulama have derived 10 different lessons from it. That how it reflects your experiments, your faults, how you must look at your own faults, a whole lot of other things. And one thought came to me that if, meaning obviously that somebody is going to advise you on the problems that you have, the deficiencies that you have. Now, one of the things that will happen is that obviously you've got to take into account that this person is doing it for your good. Yes. And you've got to thank him and you've got to be grateful for him. Now, what happens is you've taken this seriously, you've seen that there's a problem within yourself and you go and you rectify yourself. And then you go back in front of the mirror and now the mirror shows a different picture. It doesn't show the faults in you because you have removed all the faults. Now the other aspect that came to my mind is that the mirror doesn't remind you that look, you had this problem, you had this problem, you had this problem. The mirror now reflects a completely new person. In other words, if you have advised somebody and you've pointed some problems that he has and he goes and rectifies himself, and he comes back, you don't keep on reminding him that you were like this, and you were like this, and you were like this. But now you accept him as somebody who's come completely clean of all his deficiencies. So this is the one other aspect that came to my mind. And then we were given a kitab
by the other one? The cracked mirror?
Yeah, that's me. I was looking at this one kitab last night that Isipingo Madrasa has printed on the Salafism, Ghair Muqallideen. And they come with a lot of objections. So if you use the same example of a mirror, the mirror is going to tell you a whole lot of things that you are doing wrong. But the mirror is cracked. In other words, the mirror is cracked. In other words, the person who is coming to tell you who is a mirror is actually a Ghair Muqallideen, or is a Salafi, or is a Bidati, or is a modernist. So what do you do then?
Tell us.
I know what comes to mind is that you just ignore it and you find a mirror that is not cracked. So what you do, you come to Dr. Hansa's program.
But he just mentioned just now that if you look into the mirror and you find faults and you correct yourself, then again when you go in front of the mirror you find that the faults are not over there. Every one of us over here, sitting over here, can go in front of the mirror, look at ourselves, make shukr. What we were before, clean shaven pants, jeans, whatever, all the fancy dresses, and today we go in front of the mirror, we are different. We just have to ponder about all this and make shukr. Allahumma ahsan ta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi. He has made our external good. The process and the effort is still right till the end to make our internal good. It's very easy understood that way. Today I'm going to not talk on just one topic. I just chosen various malfuzat of our Hazrat from this kitab. And that is how our Hazrat Majlis used to go. Various topics. But sab kaam ki baat. Everything that is of necessity for us. Bu Ali Sina. Who was he? Anybody can remember Bu Ali Sina?
If you can know Ibn Sina, known as Western mood, he wrote Al-Qanun, which is known as the Canons, and it was a textbook that was used for 700 years in Europe. They couldn't improve on it until 700 years had passed, and then only after the Renaissance they took from him and then they improved on it. He was one of the greatest physician philosophers of that type, particular age, about 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Christian era, 1,000.
Muslim, isn't it?
Muslim, yeah.
Buzruk too.
Christian.
Okay. He was a physician. I thought he was interpreter of dreams.
He was an all-rounder, everything.
He's the one who wrote the kitab on interpretation of dreams.
No, Ibn
Sina. Ibn Sina, Ibn Sirin, right. Okay, I mixed this thing up. So, Bu Ali Sina made a safar to go and meet a buzruk, Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Ali. When he reached his home, he knocked at the door. And from inside came the voice of his wife. "Ke kaun hai, who is this?" So he said from the outside, "I'm Bu Ali Sina. I have come to meet Abul Hasan Ali Nuri, Rahmatullah Ali." So from inside she says, "Why have you come to meet her? He is deceiving people. For nothing people say he's a buzruk. He's like this and he's like that." And she starts ridiculing him. So Bu Ali Sina is thinking outside, if the wife is telling something about the husband, that he's like this and like this, then it should be true, because she's the closest one to him. She knows him better than anybody else from the outside. So he says, he's thinking to himself that he's feeling of a regret that for nothing I made this suffer. But then he thought to himself, since I am already here, I should meet him and go. So he went outside and he asked people, because he was not expecting any answer from the wife, so any help from the wife. So he went outside and he asked the people, "Where can I find this person?" So people told him, "He will be in the jungle. He goes to collect woods and comes and sells these things in the town, in the village, and through that he makes his living. He fulfills the need of himself and his family. Unka zariya maash ye hai. Apne ahl ayal ka nafqa is tarah hasil karte hain." So Bu Ali Sina went towards the jungle in the direction which they told him that he would find Abul Hasan Ali Nuri. While walking, he found from the opposite direction a person, a buzrugi admi, coming towards him. And alongside with him is a lion. And on the back of the lion is bundles of wood. The moment he saw the lion, he got frightened. This is just natural. He got frightened. He stopped. He did not go any further. Hazrat Abul Hasan Nuri came towards him, made musafa with him. And he realized that this person has is frightened, therefore now he went towards him. Musafa kiya. So Bu Ali Sina says to him, ki, I want to ask you a question, and that is, here I see your status, your condition, that your load is being carried by a lion who's walking alongside you. And on the other hand, in the house, this is the condition that your wife talks so ill about you. I can't reconcile these things. So he says, agar hum is shirini ka bojh na uthate, to ye sher hamara bojh kis tarah uthata? Referring to his wife as shirini, that sweet person. If I did not tolerate her nonsense, then how would this, if I did not carry the weight of my shirini, then how would this lion carry my weight? Hum is shirini ka bojh uthate hain ki humko bura bhala kehti hai, hum bardasht karte hain. Allah Ta'ala ne is sher ko hamare tabe kar diya, ye hamara bojh uthata hai. Because I carry the weight of my wife's nonsense, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that this animal carries the weight, my physical weight. Again, what is the word I have mentioned yesterday? Hilm. Allahumma a'inni bil ilmi wa zayyinni bil hilm. Oh Allah, help me with ilm, but without hilm, ilm will not benefit you. Decorate me with hilm. Many waqiyas of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah in this matter, and so also in Hazrat's waqiyas, you find many of such waqiyas. Okay, next. He says, in Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi's Khanqa, there were certain rules and regulations. Some people had objections to these rules and regulations. But he says these rules, these objections, were not proper. He says even the previous Akabirin Mutaqaddimin, they had rules and regulations as far as their Khanqa were concerned. They had fixed times in which you could meet them. You could not just go any time and meet them. So here too, there were some rules and regulations, but Hazrat told us many a times that the rules were not made for this purpose of making rules. The rules were made out of need for the rahat of the people and for the rahat of himself. This is why rules are made. Not just to sit there and start making rules. That is not the maqsad. And he says, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi's rules were nothing compared to the previous rules. Previous Buzurganuddin's rules. He says, in the previous times, there was always a darban, a guard at the door of the Khanqa. Nobody could come in. They had to take permission first. So he would now, if anybody would come, he would now go into the room or the buzruk, tell him certain person is here and he wishes to meet you. Then only, if he gave permission, then he would call him in. So once a Badshah came to meet him, a certain buzruk. A Badshah came to meet him. The Darban at the door stopped him. Now, Badshahs are not used to all this. to be stopped. They feel just because they are Badshah, they can do anything they want to, go in any time they want to. So they stopped. The Darban stopped him. And then, first he says, I will go and take permission. So he went inside, took the permission from the Badshah and came back and told him, you got permission, you can come in. The Badshah went in. Then, after meeting him, he says a couplet in Farsi. I won't read it out in Farsi, I'll just give the meaning out. The meaning of which was this, ke darvesh ke darwaze par darbaan na chahiye. Ke at the door of a buzrug there should be no guard. In other words, anybody would be allowed to come in at any time they want. There should be no guard. So the buzrug immediately replied in the same language, ke zurur chahiye taki duniya ka kutta na aaye. Certainly, there should be a darwan so that the dogs of the dunya don't come in. So Hazrat Wala ki yahan to koi darwan na tha. There was no darwan. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi space. However, at one time, something happened. And people forced him to keep a darban. But Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi did not accept. What was the waqia that happened? Ke during the time of the Tehreek of Freedom, the movement of freedom, quite a few of the Buzrugan, the deen of that time, had participated in this movement. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah refused. He did not join the Congress, which was in the freedom movement from the British rule. On this, many people threatened him with death. It was the time of the summer, he says, in the afternoon when Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi was resting, he was sleeping, lying down. Qailullah farma rahe the. Suddenly a person comes into his room where he is sleeping and throttles him. He wants to kill him. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi got up, he got frightened and he started shouting. When he started shouting, all the people in the Khanqah got up, came towards him and saved him from this fellow and they got hold of this person. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi's nephew, Mawla Shabir Ali Sahab, and other persons decided that they must hand him over to the police. But Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah told him, no, just leave him, saying that probably he's mad. He'll be here, he'll be in jail, and his family will be alone. They'll suffer. I'll let him go. Iske bache kahin honge, ye kahan honge, lihaza isko chhod do. Thereafter, the people requested that there should be a darban at your door so that no such thing happen again. But he never accepted. As the Thanvi rahmatullah had the habit of going for a long walk after Fajr in the jungles. And in that time, there would be nobody accompanying him and he would make his tilawat in that time. So one Hindu pandit, met him and he says, Ji Hazrat, kahan ja rahe ho akele? Where are you going alone? People are after you, they want to kill you. Hazrat Thanvi gave a reply to the effect that nothing can happen without his permission. Something like that, I don't remember the exact words. Nothing can happen without his permission. They can't kill me if it is not destined for me. This pandit is telling him, agar aisa hai to tu chala, tu ja, nobody can harm you. He's got so much of understanding. He says, if this is the condition, if this is your aqidah, nobody can harm you, you walk alone. One moment he is warning him not to walk alone, the next moment he says, no, you go. So this is type of strength on the inside of Upasthavamidhu. The other thing is that those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be feared, no makhluk can harm Him. Talking of the dog, we mentioned the dog over here, Dunya Ka Kutta, there's another walk I remember. He was on Buzruk. He had a dog, a female dog, a bitch. She gave birth to pups. So he made a big dawat of the whole village because his dog gave birth. Am dawat, everybody was called. So this Buzruk had another friend also staying in the village but a little far away. They had close relationship. He did not invite that Buzruk. He invited all the people except that Buzruk. This Buzruk was not invited, got to know about this dawat. It's sab ko madro kiya hai lekin mujhe nahi. Invited everybody but did not invite me. So he sent a message later on that you invited everybody but you did not invite me for the dawat. What he says, ye dawat to kutto ke liye hai. It's for the dogs. It's not for you. His pup and dog gave birth, ye kutto ke liye dawat hai. Aapke liye nahi. Aapke liye alag hogi. We will be separate for all the time.
In other words,
this is what I've understood this.
The dogs of the vineyard were invited by this.
You see, it's like this. I'll tell you in another way. You might not be able to accept it, but I've heard it, as he told me himself about this. Take weddings. In this ibadat of nikah, there's hardly any expenses. No expenses on the side of the girl. The only expenses that are incurred or that are wajib and mustahab on the boy's side. What is the wajib in? Mehr for the boy, and mustahab is your walima. Those are only expenses for the boy, not for the girl's side, not for the girl's party. But look at our weddings. At the time of the wedding, the girl's party must feed everybody after the nikah. There'll be a reception or whatever you want to call it. But everything on the girl's party. Besides that, the customs have so many other things on the girl's side, the week before and the mehndi party and this party and that party. So it goes on and on. So, if you look at Sharia, there's nothing. But if you look at our customs, there's so much there. If everyone had any azmat in their heart for the rules of Sharia, even if they were invited, they would not go. Because they know Sharia does not allow this. I'm not talking of the other thing, I'm talking of on the day of nikah. You are invited, you're also invited for the meal, everything is printed. So many people, or all the people in the house. Hazrat tell me one day, he says, nikah ke baad log khilate hain, logo ko sharam nahi aati. वहां जाकर खाना खाते हैं. Don't they feel ashamed to go and eat over there in the house of the nikah? Halaki, that is not what is Sharia, the demands of Sharia. Okay, you may say, yeah, people are coming from far and wide. Therefore, they have to feed them. But where is it that you must call everybody from far and wide? Only those close people who were there were invited, prominent people, so that they may know that my daughter, if is going with him, it is in wedlock, not out of wedlock. There's no aitirazats. But to invite anybody and everybody from far and wide. So what are people coming there for? You take out the meal from there, you invite them from far and wide. You take out the meal from there, see whether they'll come. You see, I'm trying to explain this term, dunya ki kutto ke liye. So you must understand, most of the time, it is food that is drawing us, not anything else. When Buzruganuddin come, a big gathering, after the majlis, is a lavish meal. Why is a big gathering? Because of the meal. Take out the meal and see how many people attend. Dunya ke kutto ke liye. This is what he's trying to say. This is what I've understood. From the malfuz of Hazrat and from this. So long as there will be givers, there will be takers. If we don't give, there will be no takers. If you have a dry wedding, there will be nothing. Take mayats. This is another malfuz. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah mentioned this waqia somewhere. That one person's father passed away. Now, according to custom, on the 10th day he must invite all the people and feed them. He didn't like this custom at all. Hazrat Thani says, he sorted all these people out. He taught them a lesson. On that particular day, without invitation, everybody is going to come. They know they have to come. Because of the 10 day, because of the custom. He prepared food, not only simple food, he prepared good food for the people who were expected. And then, when everybody was seated, he says, "Mujhe aapse ek baat kehni hai. I want to tell you something. You people know that I have lost my father, and that gham is with me, that sorrow is with me. And on top of that, I must have this gham of feeding you. Don't you people feel ashamed that you're putting gham upon gham, malal par malal mutlak dal rahe ho? You're putting gham upon gham upon me. Don't you feel, people feel ashamed?" He said this, but he said, "But what I wanted to say, I have said. Now you can carry on eating." The people said, "Jab aapne hame joote khila diye, ab kya khana khayenge?" You have made us eat shoes, what are we going to eat now? So they all went away from there without eating. Not one stayed. But they went to a nearby house, they had a meeting. And they thought amongst themselves, spoke amongst themselves, they said, "What this person is saying is very true. A person is now with gham, the death of his father, and now we're putting more gham on him over these expenses. What he's saying is right. We must stop this custom." So from that time onward, in that area, all this custom was stopped. He sorted them out with this method of his. Then, ladies, there was one person who passed away. His son is telling me this. His uncle or somebody came from a family. He said, "You don't worry about anything. We will do everything." And "you do everything" means that you don't worry about the ghusl kafan, we will do everything. So keeping the son, he's the only son, keeping him free of any worry. Because he's already laden with gham, the loss of his father. He will go. Also, you don't worry about the food, we will arrange for that. Also, you don't worry about the tent and the kursis and all that, we will worry about that. So he was satisfied, and very happy that doesn't have to do all this in that state of worry. Everything was done. For the next 3 days, all the family was fed, as is the custom. You know, on the 40th day, again, everybody gathers, everybody was fed. Thereafter, this relative of his comes to him. Now, this is some time ago, some 20, 25 years ago. He comes to him and gives him a bill. These are the expenses. And in other words, he must pay him. You see? At that time, he was under the impression that I don't have to worry about this. Even the financial expenses, financial aspect. But here, he finds that at the end of it, he's got to pay for all these things. He came to me. He says, look at this. He didn't want any solution from me. He wanted to talk his heart out. He said, look at these close family members of mine. What are they doing to me? And they went out of the way to feed everybody the lavish food for the next 3 days. And on the 40th day, on the 10th day. And then, you know, when they have khatams too, on Thursdays too, they must give Sydney all chocolates and all that. All that is included in this bill. And this person was not earning much. He said, how am I going to pay this? So I just told him, just be straightforward. When you told me that you're going to do everything, I didn't understand you're going to do all this. If you wanted to do all this, I would have told you I wouldn't be able to manage. You know, made it straight, told you straight. But if you did all this, I can't pay you now. I don't say, if you want the money, I'll give it to you, but as I earn, I'll give you. But I can't do it. What happened thereafter, I don't know. Dunya ki kutte, I'll give you an example. I went to one village in India, some relative of mine, while I was studying. When I went there, I used to go there in the holidays. Once when I went there, I reached there in the morning about 10 o'clock something. Very happily they told me, Amaro chula banche, tanda avaste. For 3 days, our chula means the stove, is off. For 3 days, there's a mayat in the muhalla. We're going to be eating there. You're going to be eating there at that mayat house for the next 3 days, and our chula is. In other words, even you can stay here, but you'll have to come and eat over there. There's no food in the house. Happily, he's telling me. In other words, happiness is expressed at the death of somebody, because now we're going to be saving money. You understand what I'm trying to say? Dunya ke kutte. Ek to khana mil raha hai, apna bach raha hai. In the same way, you find they have fundraising dinners. I think you can also include this in the same thing. If they wanted to give, why must they be fed first? They will not give until you feed them. That is why you've got to feed them well. Then only will they buy those tickets for those fundraising dinners. Otherwise, giving donation with the ikhlas means just mamla between you and him. Time in the majlis, if before the time of the majlis Hazrat is busy with somebody, he will keep somebody outside, tell them nobody must come in until I finish with this person. This Mehman is here for some work, let me finish off with him, then only you can come in, and then he'll give indication that you may come in now. So he says, Now what would happen is that when that person is finished and the ishara is given that people can come in, people would run into the majlis khana to get a better place in front. He says, majlis ke andar bhaag dor kar na aana chahiye. Viqar ka shariyat ne bahut khayal rakha. One should not run into the majlis khana. Self-respect and the respect of the place. Sharia has laid great importance on this. And you know the same masla refers to the masjid too. Masla sharia hai ki jamaat ki namaz khadi ho gayi ho to bhi bhaag kar na aao. Masla is this, that even if you know that the namaz has already started, then too you should not run into the masjid. You must walk with dignity and respect. Is tarah aao ke tum par sukoon wa sakina ho. You must come with sukoon, with peace. Again, the same thing comes in. Ye tamam baate hilm mein dakhil. All this is included in hilm. Hilm doesn't mean that somebody tells you something bad and you practice hilm. Not only that, this is hilm as well. Sirf hilm ye nahi hai ke kisi ne gaali de di is par bardasht kar liya. یہ وقار بھی حلم میں داخل ہے یہ شعر کا حلم ہی تو ہے کہ دوسرے اس کو چھیڑتے ہیں تو ابتدائے کچھ نہیں کہتا. The حلم of the line is this, that when somebody interferes with him, initially the shayr does not do anything. He has حلم. کچھ نہیں کہتا. And towards the end too, the shayr will only show some eyes. Will not do much. I don't know if anybody knows much about the animals. He says, when I was in Deoband, studying in Deoband, jab main Deoband padhne gaya, to in one place, there were few students from the Sarhad, means the borders, talking of the borders of India, near the mountainous area, the Pathans. So a group of Pathan students were sitting and making takrar, you know, doing a revision of their work. So I also went and sat with them. These now, students, being a group of one feather, they started interfering with me. Mujhe chherne lage. Main khamosh raha, I kept quiet. The second time they interfered with me. Again, I kept quiet. Third time, they interfered with me. I again kept quiet. When the fourth time when they interfered with me, I again kept quiet. So they are telling me, "Tum kaise Pathan ho?" And they didn't say Pathan, they say Patan, because they can't say the "t." Tum kaise Pathan ho? We are interfering with you. Humne kai martaba aapko chheda, lekin aapne kuch kaha nahi. You haven't said anything. Not even getting angry on us. Tum kaise Pathan ho? So he said to them, maine kaha main sherwani pathan hu, sher ko gussa nahi aaya karta. Ye sundar wo khamosh ho gaya. Yeah, I am a sherwani pathan, and sher ko, from the sher, sherwan, the sher ko gussa nahi aaya karta. But he's trying to say ki mard ko mard hokar rehna chahiye, mard ko aurat nahi banna chahiye. A man must be a man and behave like one. We will always be confronted with women folk from the house to the workplace. And something or the other is going to put us into a state where hilm has to be. You see, one of the reasons that we have lots of ummid. I've got a secretary, she must do this work, she must do this work. I'm expecting her to do this, I'm expecting her to do this. And if she doesn't do it, finish. You get upset. Why didn't she do it? She knows that's her work. She knows that it's supposed to be her work, but she hasn't done it. You are disappointed. You are getting angry because you're expecting that. If you find that some person needs prompting all the time, then you do so to get your work done, so that you don't get into a state of anger. Little while, every half an hour, just check. Was this done? I gave you a list. Have you done this? Have you done this? If you haven't, attend to that first before you do this. So there is a way of doing things, of getting your work done, if you know that the other side is like that. Instead of getting upset and spoiling our health and the inside, with this in mind you go to eat, what can you eat? With this in mind you go to sleep, how can you sleep? With this thing will be still churning in your mind all the time, during eating, during sleeping, during namaz too. What type of namaz now? Okay, with that, time is up, we'll finish off.
Continue tomorrow.
Yeah?
Continue tomorrow.
No, the same. I know, what's your program tomorrow?
Same program.
Okay, we'll see inshallah, whatever I can remember. A little while. Just before we leave, I'll just tell you some interesting thing. While I was in Randel just now, Musa Bhai, with whom I was staying, he tells me while we were walking one day in the bazaar, from the bazaar to his house, he told me, that old man, come, let's meet him. So I went to him. He was sitting outside his door, a small room, two steps down, and on the side now, he's got a small jhopadi with a half tin wall. The rest of it is open. He says, this man here is almost 80 years old, maybe a little more, maybe 80 years old, but he alone, on his own, without any assistance, slaughters a big animal, without any assistance. And let's say big animal, what do you call it? Yes. Buffalo.
Yes.
Yeah, buffalo. So the buffaloes that he intends slaughtering, he only slaughters about 3 or 4 days a week. The buffaloes are outside the tin enclosure. Or 2 or 3 there. And he personally feeds them, he talks to them, and he pats them, and he treats them with muhabbat and love. Look at that old man, he's so weak. I couldn't understand. How can an old man like him do it himself? So I told Musa Bhai, mujhe dekhna hai. He says, but he starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter, we are awake at that time, we can read our tahajjud afterwards. We still got time, namaz is 6 o'clock, still time. So we'll go, I don't want to miss this, I want to see this while I'm here. He said, bahut acha. So he went to ask the old man, which day you slaughtered. So he told him, the next day was a slaughtering day. So we got up as usual, and it was nearing 4 o'clock by the time I got ready, so I didn't have time to read any tahajjud, not even 2 rakat. He went away. I said, let's go quickly, we'll read afterwards. When we went over there, he was just leading one animal into the enclosure. Normally he slaughters just 1 or 2, maximum 3. So he leads one animal into the enclosure, he's got the string and he's leading the animal into the enclosure. And near the steps he had some patlas over there. He said, you can sit over there. I said, no, let me just stand over there, I can see better. So I stood over there, Musa Bhai also stood. He leads the animal inside, talking to the animal, reading La ilaha illallah and all that. And he takes the string, as the animal is inside completely, takes the string, and on the ground, he's got cemented rings, you know, steel rings. So he takes one end of it, and a certain ring he threads it through, and then gradually he pats it on one side and pulls the thing on that side, the animal is forced to now go down. But he does it such that when the animal is down, the animal is facing the Qibla. Thereafter, when the animal is completely down, without any shuffle, without any fighting, the animal just lies down. Then for purpose of being secure, he ties the legs up. No shuffling, nothing from the animal. Then he tells me that my father had told me never to give animals the cliff. And this is what he was doing, he's carrying out his father's instruction, nasiha. So he did this. And thereafter, he slaughtered. Alone, nobody to help him. He's got one knife, short knife like this, just slightly curved. He uses that for slaughtering, he uses that for skinning, he uses that for cutting everything just with that one knife. On the floor, there's no such thing as hoisting up the animal on the pulleys and all that. On the floor, he skins, on the floor, he cuts, on the floor, he separates the various parts. And he's got a knack of breathing. If he skins on one side, leg, foreleg and the hind leg is all separated, make it easy for him, he'll cut off that portion. He cuts off all the payas first, and then he cuts off that leg and puts it away one side. Something I tell my people, my friends, even in Ladysmith, Bakrid is coming now. We all depend on avatar boys. And many of us do depend on avatar boys to get very clean carcasses and quickly get our work done. I say, this is one of the methods of developing your energy and get to know your energy. You don't have to get the avatar boys. Get down to it yourself. You don't have to do the whole animal yourself. Get your boys. One person does one leg, one person does the other leg, one person does one side of the same one side. Get it done. Then after that, you must know how to open and how to clean without making a mess. My brother-in-law, my cousin, my mama bhai, who's married to my sister, he does this. He's got a paved backyard where he's staying in near Mountain Ride Masjid. He digs about this hole, this much hole. The rest of it is all paved. The same hole is dug every time. Digs it quite deep. Slaughtering is done over there. After that, all the blood flows in there. The animal is picked up and taken out the other side where it's curtained. And then the animal is skinned. The innards, the intestines, everything is collected into basins. These basins are now taken back to the hole. And there it is cut open or cleaned. Every bug goes inside this. Paved backyard, but not a single mess anywhere. He's got a method of doing it. They do about 16, 17 animals. Many people, many women folk object. They don't want qurbani in their backyard. Never. Because of the mess. But if you know how to do it, then there it is. I remember in Pune, I once was there, some students of South Africa were staying in a flat. In a flat where they were all Hindus, pakka Hindus, all vegetarians. They wanted to make qurbani. Somehow they stayed on the third floor or fourth floor. Somehow or the other, when they did it, they took the animal upstairs in the bathroom. They kept it there for 2 days and they slaughtered the animal in the bathroom. I was there when they did it. Real himmat in a place like that. Maybe something to think about. Qurbani is coming. We must get down to these things, ourselves, so that we don't become muhtaj of people. Mm-hmm. Remain independent. It's great joy when you. In my time when I was younger, I was staying in the other place, rented place, I had a backyard. I did 2 qurbani absolutely on my own. Nobody to help me. Yes, no, I said, I must be wrong. I just got somebody to help me, my wife, somebody to hold the legs while I slaughtered. After that, everything on my own, including the cutting and the slicing, everything. I invested in the saw to cut the spine and all that, and the chops and all that. I did everything myself. But first what I do is, cut them into 4 pieces, the legs, put them in the freezer, then the body into 2 pieces, put them in the freezer, and the neck and all that goes in separately. So you know, once meat cools nicely, then it's easier to cut. All the butchers will tell you that too. So, something to think about and to do, and to get involved with our children. Allah Khuda Hafiz Fimalina.